life does get real. When the real guys come, real fortune, he will raise market game changers. Does get real. These are the kind of guys I need to have in the locker room. The championship type guys. Third guys, you just gotta recognize I gotta pay the money, I gotta keep it. Everybody has an opinion.
They came with so much bravado and so much swagger.
We're not gonna make it. Sometimes you gotta create space where there's no space.
I can't argue with LeBron's decision.
I do have a bit of a problem with execution. Right?
He burned a lot of bridges. He's gonna be hated in Chicago. He's gonna be hated in Cleveland. He's gonna be hated in New York. And that's what I'm excited to see.
Now, I blame it on Nintendo. I blame it on the fact that they never played against a team that's going to be as dominant as this team could be.
The true villain team. The team that everybody wants to smack in the mouth every time they play them. Oh, yes, you are in with the Real Sports Guys. Mark is the game changer on with D-Wills and Ray. The gang's all here. We come to bring you the news live from the streets. We got a lot going on today. We're going to jump right into it. As we said on the intro, LeBron's going to be hated in Cleveland. And LeBron is hated in Cleveland right now. Cleveland, you know, we got the LeBron Wars going on right now. It's like the Biggie Wars back in New York in the late 90s between Nas and Biggie and Raekwon, where they're going back and forth throwing subliminal darts at each other. But we got Cleveland in the mix now. Jordan, LeBron threw the first stone. Jordan came back, threw his stone out with his commercial. Now Cleveland's got a commercial. Now, we're going to jump right into this. I'm going to play the commercial, and I want to get you guys' reaction. Ray has peeped it already. I don't think Devon has heard it. You just watched it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and play it for our listeners, and, you know, we're going to get reaction. We want to hear what y'all got to say. Here we go.
What should I do?
What should you do?
Is it even a question?
Just selfish.
Miami.
You would leave us?
You're a quitter.
What happened to family?
You bagged out.
Maybe I should just disappear.
Should I remind you that I've done this before?
Yeah, we know.
Boston, Game 5, we watched.
Should I really believe I ruined my legacy?
Legacy? Traders don't leave legacies.
When things get difficult, you run. That's your legacy.
Should I have my tattoo removed?
Yeah.
What should I do?
You should throw it in our faces on national television. Thanks.
What should we do, LeBron?
What should we do?
Seriously, what should I do?
What should you do?
You could have told us before the last week of free agency you were leaving.
You're a backstabber, LeBron.
Should I be writing this down? Should I be who you want me to be?
We wanted you to be who you said you'd be.
I got a goal, and that's a huge goal, and that's to bring an NBA championship here to Cleveland, and I won't stop till I get it.
All I got to say to that is...
In the face!
I like it. You know, I, as much as Cleveland should get over it, I like it. I think it's funny.
I can't be mad at that. I mean, you're going to go ahead and do that. Look, man, we got something to say, too.
Right. You know, I'm not, you know, selling any shoes or making millions, but here, take this, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful thing. Like I said, you know, there was a quote from my favorite show. You know, Devon's a big fan of the show, too, from The Wire. And I think the quote fits the scenario because this is becoming a war. And, you know, well, we like to think about it as a war, but I think this quote will put some perspective on it.
Girl, you can't even call this shit a war.
Why not?
Wars end.
This ain't going nowhere. These boys, this is going to be going on all season. Miami took another loss tonight. They lost to Utah, and Paul Millsap dropped 46. Paul friggin' Millsap. Now, Paul Millsap is a good player, but he don't got no business putting up damn near 50 on nobody.
Not supposedly
one of the best defensive teams in the league.
Exactly. Not a team that's trying to put their stamp on the league with their defense. You know, how did this slip across the court?
Well, see, and it goes back to the big hole in Miami's team right now, and that's they don't have no post defense. Bosch is proven to be the weak link. Bosch is going to F this up. Bosch is going to mess this up because Bosch isn't ready for prime time. Bosch is not ready for prime time. Like I said, we don't know what he is. He was up in Toronto when nobody really paying attention to him. All people saw was his stat line every night. Nobody really watched him play. Nobody really critiqued his game. But now I think you're seeing he can't guard in the post. He's not that strong in the post. And you got to have post play. You got to either have a dude who can lock up the other team's best post option, like the Pistons had when they won it with Ben Wallace and Rasheed, or you got to have some guys you could throw the ball into and get buckets, like Gasol and Bynum,
yep.
KG, you know what I mean? And they don't got either one of those. So they're gonna have some trouble. They're going to have some trouble this year. So, but yeah, the LeBron Wars are getting hot. What'd you say?
You have to wonder if they don't have an agreement, you know, as to who has to give up some of that money to go out and get the best, you know, because now they're looking at Bosch like, you know, you're making as much as I am. You know, you got to step it up. And if they have to bring somebody in to help, you know, it should come out of his pocket.
It should.
You know.
It should, because he's not holding up his end of the bargain. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. So yeah, we'll get more into it. We'll dig more into the NBA in a little bit. But first, we gotta hit the NFL, and we gotta get into everything that's going on with that. I want to jump right in.
Before you transition, I want to apologize to Mike because I didn't get Mike's commercial much that last. You know, I was talking about LeBron, being part of the generation of folks who know how to get into these. Into these going back and forth, but Jordan, when I watched it, Jordan hit him in ice. When I saw the visual, I was like, okay, you coming out like KRS-One on him, teacher on him. I was like, oh, don't mess with the teacher. So I want to say that I want to put that on tape. I need to apologize to Mike. I give him
right. So we calling it even 1-1, right?
Yeah, we call it
the. Well, 1-1-1 because Cleveland just put it. It just came in with the steel chair.
Yeah, Cleveland
slid the steel chair into the ring.
They came like Ice Cube, no Vaseline. They took you like
word up.
They beat you over with your beak. That's how they came. Yeah. Like Ice Cube.
Oh man, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. See, this is gonna make this season real interesting. December 2nd, baby. Mark it on your calendars. Cleveland, Miami. This is gonna be wonderful.
I didn't see the end of that game. Like Miami was up on them. How'd they lose?
They ain't got no post defense. I watched a little bit of the game. You know, I coached my daughter's basketball team, so I had to skedaddle. But I watched. You know, the first few minutes, and, I mean, Al Jefferson and Millsap was just putting in work. I mean, Jefferson cooled off, obviously, but Millsap just put in work. I mean, he put in work. I mean, he just dogged him. He just dogged Bosch. And, I mean, at some point, you know, they got to find somebody that can play defense. Joel Anthony is not going to cut it. Big Z is not going to cut it. Udonis Haslem is not going to cut it. They have to find somebody who could play some post defense. Eric Dampier is still out there. He's available, so they may want to give him a call. I'm sure his phone will ring tonight. you know, you don't want to push the panic button, but damn it, Paul Millsap shouldn't be putting up 46 on nobody.
No.
I mean, the man just damn near scored 50 points. I don't care. I don't care. He didn't score that much in college, let alone the league. So they got three losses. He got three losses, and that was a home loss. So, you know,
yeah.
72 wins, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. All you new Heat fans, get over yourselves. It's not happening. You know, I know you love your guys, but It ain't happening. You love them this year. We'll see how they do next year.
Boy, they scored 42 in the fourth. Utah put some points up in the fourth quarter. Boy, they scored 42 points in the fourth.
Yeah, because Miami was beating their head in.
Yeah, Miami's beating them. They went on a run in the fourth. Okay, enough of that. The football.
Yeah, football. Football. Oh, gosh, football. Okay, the Cowboys, you know, we put the last nail in the coffin a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I think they're throwing dirt on them now. I think the Undertaker's throwing dirt. The Grave Digger's throwing dirt on them. And, you know, the report came out yesterday, you know, Wade's car was at Valley Ranch, you know, and it wasn't supposed to be. You know, so they got the media camped out outside of Valley Ranch, like, okay, Wade's car is here. Either him and Jerry had a sleepover, or Wade's about to get his ass fired. And it was the latter. It was option B. So Wade is gone. They promote Jason Garrett. They promote some cat whose last name I can't pronounce to defensive coordinator. And, I mean, they need to start scouting. I mean, they need to start investing in their college scouting. I mean, they're going to have a high first-round pick. You know, they need to either – I think they need to go out and get Mark Ingram or a decent tailback, get the ball to. And they need to just start rebuilding. I mean, it's that time. It's that time. I mean, they are at the bottom. I don't see Garrett inspiring them to go 8-0 down the stretch where they finish out respectable. He ain't that type. I just don't see him as that type of coach. I don't see them with that type of talent. And I have to – I got to jump over to your side of the fence and say I agree with you. You know, Ray all season has been telling us they just don't have that much talent. And – 1-7 speaks for itself, you know. So I'm on my own. You converted me, dog.
I'm still when I look at it, and this right now is it has nothing to do with talent. One thing I look at is they don't have effort. So and I'll say this: the play that convinced me it was time to fire. I don't know if you saw the play when Matthews just came inside of Witten. And hit, who did he hit at running back? He hit he hit somebody before they even got started. It was like on a third and short or second short. I mean, it was one of those plays where he just took the inside route, wouldn't even take a step to block him, and he just trucked him. And all you saw was it was one of those plays where it was just like no effort. And to me, you know, I don't know what level their talent is, but looking at the NFC, still right now, person for person, they're not the 10th worst team in that conference. And they're not – if you look at talent, even what they got right now, they're at least in the 7th, 6th, 5th spot in that division. Wade Phillips is not a head coach. He had the dead man walking look. And some people are good – assistants, lieutenants. They ain't generals. And he ain't no general.
Wade Phillips was a defensive line on a team that didn't have a defense. And as a head coach, it can't be like that. I mean, you gotta be able to point fingers. I mean, Lovie Smith
but,
is still
but,
in
but
Chicago.
Ray, look at that front seven. That front seven is not that bad. I'm going to tell you right now, have that same roster with Gruden coaching, they win 10, 11 games easily.
I ain't sold on Gruden either. I'm sorry. You know, he had a wonderful run in Oakland, but you know he took over Dungy's team down in Tampa and won a Super Bowl. You know, I might have been able to take that team to the Super Bowl. You know,
but Ray, you got Ratliff. You got all. I mean, they front seven should be playing better than they playing. Come on, man.
Well, okay, but again, you know, you look at them and you say, the Packers scored 45 points against them.
Because they ain't playing. They ain't playing with no cool. They got Kool Aid. It ain't that they can't play. They ain't playing with no sense of urgency.
Have you ever played?
My thing is, and this is why I agree with Ray. Is when does it become urgent? I mean, you 1-7.
Right.
You were talking Super Bowl at the beginning of the season, and you know, at some part, you know, I value when I look at talent. I look at I also throw into that equation not just athletic ability, but your ability to rise up, you know, your ability to digest the playbook, and then also your ability to handle adversity, your ability to rise up under pressure to play clutch ball. And
they're just beat.
I think that's where that's an area where they're completely devoid of talent as far as guys who will step up, guys who will, you know, take a stand, who will say, get on my back, I'm carrying this team. The only cat I've seen even remotely do something like that is Dez Bryant in the Monday night game when they were going against the Giants when Romo got knocked out. And Dez Bryant was still balling. There was nothing to play for, and you could see it in everybody else that they was done. But Dez Bryant was still like, I could get another touchdown. You know, and I don't see nobody else with that kind of mentality.
If the Cowboys don't come out and get $350,000 penalties next week, I wouldn't even want to coach that team. You know, there has to be some nasty. If you're going to lose like that, lose with the idea that that team's going away, at least saying, I don't ever want to play them again. You know, I don't ever want to play that team again because they knew they couldn't beat us, so they just beat us up. You know, there's a difference. They don't have any heart. They don't have any guts, and they're just weak. Jerry Jones is going to have to overhaul that team. The next coach that comes in there is going to have to overhaul that team. This team is you know, on defense they're just terrible. They're just terrible, and so you know you there's a lot of rebuilding that has to go on, and then you're going to have to look at the rest of the pieces. They have to shore up that running game. They're not running the ball. They're not committed to the run. You know, and that was, you know, the main thing that Parcells instilled in them. You know,
you don't see Gruden as being the type of coach to take that team to any level, let alone the next level, whatever that is. I mean, what's the next level at this point? Like 500?
Right,
but you don't see
right.
Gruden as that guy. Who do you see being able to step in and do something with that team?
It all depends on how far back Jerry Jones wants to stay in. You know, it all depends on how far back he wants to let somebody come in and evaluate what's there and go out and get the talent they need to be competitive again. And I don't see him turning the reins over to anybody like that. You know, I don't see him handing it over. So.
Okay, what was that?
I don't know.
That was some craziness that was on my end. So don't worry about that.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to pull some stats up. And the Packers are barking back at me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think, you know, when you talk about the Cowers, you know, Cowers not even being mentioned, you know, and I don't know if he just told them, don't think about me, I ain't coming or what, but there's not a lot of people talking about Cowers. They're talking about Gruden. They're talking about John Fox. You know, I don't know. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be somebody that either, you know, it's one of those prestigious jobs. It's like, you know, coaching Notre Dame. But if you get the opportunity to put your stamp on it, if you're going to – that offense, it doesn't have as far to go as that defense. And so, you know, can you win ball games with that team? Gruden can, I think. I think Gruden's offensive mind is sharp as a tack. But, you know, the rebuilding that they're going to have to do, they're going to have the okay from Jones. And he'll do it. I mean, he'll spend the money. That's the beauty of it. But you have to convince him that that's what that team needs. And
And I feel like I've been saying all season, I think they're one more bad coach away from becoming the Raiders. And that actually becomes a bad job. You know, when
right.
you got coaches breaking their necks to get away from there because – why the owner's doing too much? You know, the owner's involved too much.
I would love to hear what Jimmy Johnson has to say, you know, because I think it's a 3 or 4 or maybe a 5-year gig. You know, you get enough talent on the team, you win, and then all of a sudden, you know, along comes Jones, and he creeps back in and messes stuff up. You know, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. You have to have a strong will to take that job.
I think Coward coached under the Rooneys, and Coward's going to be a hard sell because the Rooneys, they let you do your job.
Right.
They let you do your job. You know, he came from a class organization in Pittsburgh, and not that Dallas isn't a class organization. Dallas is a very good organization, but the owner is he's a little too hands-on. And I think from Coward spending all that time in Pittsburgh, for him to go to Dallas, I think Jerry's going to have to back the truck up. I mean, he's going to have to pay that man handsomely because, Jerry's probably a direct contrast to the Rooneys as far as their ownership style. Yeah, they both put resources into their teams. Yeah, they both try to put a quality product on the field, and they care. But as far as the way they go about that, I think Jerry's kind of on the other end of the spectrum, not as far as a Snyder in Washington, but he's on the other end of that spectrum.
You know, Jerry's like P. Diddy. You know, he always got to be in the video. He always got to be somewhere, you know. You got to get him out of there, you know. You got to get him out of there. He got to put, you know, he got to act like he's part of it, you know. And it's just like, Jerry, just give up the money and let them do what they do.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, that's why I think Gruden's a lot like Gruden is his biggie.
Gruden
figure out how to work around it. He takes a certain personality. And I think Gruden's the kind of person who can handle Jerry and work with that. I don't think Coward would be a good fit just because of what you said about his relationship with the Rooneys and the type of coach that Coward is. I don't think that would be a good fit at all. We're going to see what's happening with Garrett. I think he's going to try and give Garrett every chance to win the job. It's kind of like Garrett was son-in-law and got pictures on him. He, some reason, he in love with Garrett. Something he see, I don't see. But he's going to give Garrett every chance to do it.
I think Cowher has scruples. You know, when something's going wrong, he's not going to be able to hold his tongue. And when he sees there's too much influence, that Jerry's, you know, pushing it too hard. Gruden, when he left the Raiders, you know, it was one of those, you know, he snuck out in the middle of the night and went down to Tampa to a team that, you know, was already set. Table was already set. He just showed up for dinner. Gruden.
Put on a chef's hat.
As good as he may be.
But that's why I think it won't work. Because the reason Gruden left Oakland was a meddling owner.
Right.
Because him and Al Davis had friction.
Yeah, but
and that's why he bucked.
But Jerry is not Al Davis, and Jerry. The one thing Jerry's not Al Davis.
Not yet.
But I think that and I don't see Jerry becoming Al Davis. I don't.
Remember, there was a time when Al Davis wasn't Al Davis.
I don't see Jerry not doing that. I think
15, 20 years ago, you said the same thing about Al Davis. I don't see Al Davis becoming that type of owner. I don't see him becoming that dumb.
I listen to Jerry. Jerry, I think sometimes Jerry's misunderstood. Jerry cares about winning. Jerry.
So does Al.
The stuff that Dallas didn't do this year had nothing to do with Jerry. Had a lot to do with Wade is not the right.
But it did have to do with Jerry. It did have to do with Jerry because Jerry couldn't get along with Parcells. And because he couldn't get along with Parcells, because Parcells was a hard-nosed, opinionated coach, he went with this soft-ass coach.
But I'm going to tell you right now, is it Jerry's fault that they don't run? They didn't commit to the running the football?
If he had a coach that wanted to run, yes. If he had to force that part, again, if Jerry could get along with somebody with a strong personality, he wouldn't have gone the other direction. You know what I mean? Like, that's why Wade Phillips worked early on, is because the players was in love with his style because they had been under Parcells for the last 3 or 4 years. And when you come out of that, there's that honeymoon period where everything is working, and now it's not working. And then they're going to, you know, it's the same. It's like the Scott Skiles effect in the NBA. Scott Skiles gets with the team, and they're great the first 3 years he's there. But then in that fourth year, you can almost guarantee that players are going to start tuning his ass out because they don't want to hear that. They don't want to be screamed at all the damn time. And when you go the other way, you get some different results. You may get some different results, and they got different results early on. But now I think they're at a point where they like it's due to the fact that Parcells and Jones couldn't get on the same page. I think that's why Parcells wasn't still coaching there.
Oh, it was the same thing with Jimmy Johnson. You know, why did Jimmy Johnson leave? You know, I mean, that's at some point when that team does find a bit of success, Jerry Jones wants to be in the video. The person that brought him there looks at him like, you ain't done nothing. You ain't even got the steps down. Get out of the video. You are not the football person. You are the money person. Jimmy Johnson left a good situation and went to Miami. You know, Parcells left a good situation. He went to Miami. No matter who they get, if they have any success, sooner or later, you go look behind you and there's Jimmy, you know. There's Jerry, you know, trying to be in the video. I wouldn't do it. If I'm good,
all
I wouldn't
in the video. All on the songs. Ain't that what you said?
All on the songs. And I'll be the, when I look at that team and I'm looking, I'm at Wade and I'm saying, y'all, game plan was terrible from the beginning. If you look at, we said this for the first five games, they had no philosophy. I think Marcus, you said it. I forgot how you put it. It was like they had all these treats and they had all this stuff, and they didn't know. They were trying to play like it was playing Sega. It was just they were trying to throw this and that. They didn't have any rhythm. They had all these toys and didn't have a strategy to use them.
Right.
You could blame that on Wade if it weren't for the fact that Garrett had such a strong presence. You got to remember that Jerry was paying Garrett as much as he was paying Wade. You know, if Wade would have vetoed a call, if Wade would have been making those decisions, you know, then you could blame it all on him. All you can really blame on Wade is the defense, because that offense, when it doesn't commit to the run, when it doesn't play with all the tools that it has, and that goes back to Jerry. That goes back to Jerry bringing Garrett in and paying him as much as Wade. That was an uncomfortable situation for Wade to be in from the jump.
And maybe that's what my push for Wade is, that at some point, no matter who you are, you got to speak up. See, I'm like, I ain't got that much of a run. And so me and Jason are going to go into this little closet. And Jason, if you don't run that football, when you come out, you're going to have my foot all up in your asshole. That's how I'm coming at it. And if Jerry, if you got this problem with me, then I'm just gonna have to go, because I can be a defensive coordinator anywhere I want to. They're gonna pay me plenty of money, because everybody know I can do that. You know, and it's you know, that part of it, because it was so obvious. That's why when I hear this argument about talent and lack of talent, it was about use of talent.
I agree.
That to me is a big one. I do agree about players stepping up, and that's been the biggest debate. Who's at fault? At what point do players step up and take responsibility? I don't know where I fall on that argument.
Because I don't see a Troy Polamalu quitting, ever. You know what I'm saying? There's certain guys, I don't see Ray Lewis quitting, ever. I didn't see DeMarcus Ware going hard. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see Jason Witten going hard every play. I didn't see all of this talent going hard every play. And to me, that's the ability to go hard every play is a talent in itself. You know, and when you have that plus the physical skill, then you got a great player. You know,
that's right.
But I don't think they have enough. They don't got. Well, you know, we always talk about the dog factor. I don't think they have enough dogs in that locker room. You know, like that. I think they got the opposite of a dog, and I won't use that word on the radio, but it starts with a P and ends with a Y.
Yeah, as my brother would say, they softer than wet noodles.
Yeah.
But speaking of a team with a bunch of toys, a team with a bunch of toys that don't know what the hell to do, Cincinnati.
Yes.
It's a freaking natty.
And Ocho Cinco, clown last night. He had
Didn't he though, man? Geo clown. T.O. Clown, T.O. did his thing in the right way.
question the right way. He was the only one.
But Ocho acted a fool, man.
Oh my goodness! I don't even know what to say about it. It was so obvious, and that's what they enabling, because it seemed like Marvin Lewis was trying to, you know, give him an excuse and an out. I didn't hear all of it, but it felt like he was trying to give him an out. And all he did was have his clown suit on. Somebody should have been all up in him.
Yeah.
And I think T.O. actually said something to him, but, I mean, that.
Well, one of the old tackle had to shoo him off the field and was like, man, just go sit down.
Yeah, go find, get you a drink, you know. You know, go tweet.
Yeah, for real. For real, go tweet that. Tell him I told you to sit your ass down.
What do you do with Marvin Lewis? That's what I'm saying.
I think it's time to clean house. I think Marvin's gone after this season. I think Chili's gone after this season. I think in both of those situations the ownership sold out. You know, going to get a T.O., going to get Randy Moss, bringing Brett Favre back. All of those moves were like, we winning this year. And I think the ship has sailed on Carson Palmer as an elite quarterback, as a quarterback you can win a Super Bowl with.
They have to
put too much around him for him to be successful. And if he can't win with what he got, he ain't going to get it done.
That's a perfect situation for Gruden to step in on. The defense doesn't play bad, and if he can get out of Rich Gannon and Brad Johnson what he got out of Palmer, and he should be able to. You don't know what he could do with that team.
I'm not trying to coach against Tomlin twice a year. I'm not trying to coach against Harbaugh twice a year.
Yeah, well, hell, man, Genie got Cleveland playing like some monsters.
That's right.
Cleveland kicked New England in the mouth.
Yeah, if I was him, I'm going out to San Francisco. Because we could be on top tomorrow. Out there in that division. I mean, you don't got him a Super Bowl, don't make it more difficult than you need to. Go out in the division. If you can get it right real quick, you can dominate that thing for like 6 years before people figure out what's going on. Arizona did it.
That's why Carroll took that job. Carroll was like, man, hell, I could run this league I could run this division for a good 3-4 years before anybody even know what happened.
Cause,
I mean, he got Seattle contending, and they're not good, but they're in the mix.
Because you're talking about the opposite in Cincinnati. I'd rather have a Jerry Jones than sometimes what they do over there. I mean, they on crack some days. No general manager. No, nothing. Jerry knows, you know, Jerry's too far in it. Jerry know about football. And Jerry's sharp. I mean, Jerry just drilling down too far. If Jerry stayed at the GM level and stayed at the president level, he'd be fine. The Browns, I don't know what the hell they're doing over there some days. You know, they kind of pulling something together here lately, but I wouldn't even touch that if I was just like,
Do you think Gruden and Coward steps in Minnesota? Because I could see Coward taking that position. He got a back like he would work the hell out of Andrew Peterson.
Yeah.
Andrew Peterson will run for 3,000 yards next year.
Yep. He touches about 45 times a game.
I think just because Coward, you know, he's got a choice. I think, you know, he did all that stuff up in Pittsburgh. I think his choice is going to be around warm weather and right situation.
Yeah.
I think that's him. I think he would do Minnesota, but I think he's just like, I can't live up in Minnesota. I see him looking down and, you know, whatever happens in Carolina, I see him looking at some, you know, somebody down there in the South. But I just see him picking based on weather. I just got that feeling. Like, he's done the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania stuff. You know, he's going to play at least half his games in 85 and sunny.
should Chili get fired? I mean, yeah, they won, but they beat Arizona. They had to come back. They was at home, and Brett Favre had to throw for you know, nearly 500 yards for them to win the game. And I mean, why? I think Chili should be gone.
Yeah, he should have got fired last week. you know, and
yeah.
apparently he did, you know, when the owner comes in and starts to question the players, you know, about the makeup and morale of the locker room. I mean, it's just a formality, you know, until he can start packing now, you know.
But what I like about Chili, though, he going out like, forget y'all. He's like, Percy, I'll choke you. I have respect for how he going out. He like, forget y'all. If y'all fire me,
no,
fire me. I'm going to choke one of these fools, and Randy, get the hell out of here. I'm okay with that. I like the way he's going out with all his guns.
Hey, that's what I would do. I would be like, Favre, F your street. Go sit down. I'm benching you. Let's go, Tavares. We're going to run the ball 50 times today. And that's what it's gonna be. And if I'm going down, I'm going down. I got dynamite strapped to my chest. I'm walking in the middle of a mall, and it's about to go down.
Well, but that's, you know, he saved his career by going to get fired the first time. He was about out of the door 2 years ago. So, you know, he's the thing about it is you don't know where he's gonna, you know, pop back up. I see him, you know. They're going to have, like, NFL greatest moments, like, you know, 10 years from now, and they're going to show all the clips from last year, and they're going to be like, where is this man? You know, they don't know where he's at, because he's not going to pop up anywhere. You know, he's not going to show up anywhere around football. He'll be, like, coaching some little junior high school, you know, in South Dakota somewhere. You can't
go
from the NFC
Championship. He's going to go back to his Detroit Divine Child. I think that's where he was before. That's where he's going to end up.
Yeah.
You know, he sold his soul to the devil, and he's going to get what he gets. I mean, exactly. It's the same thing with Phillips. It's the same. You know, these guys are good football minds. They just are in a situation where they're not capable of running an organization and they don't have the backing to send them in the right direction. You know, and you see
that. Yeah, I mean, they're not CEOs. To be a successful head coach, you got to have some CEO in you. And these brothers these cats ain't CEOs. I mean,
they're not CEOs.
They just don't know. It's not who they are.
But at least in Chili's, you know, he has so much control over the football decisions. And not just the coaching decisions, you know, to be able just to let Randy go without the owner really knowing, you know, and then when the owner calls and say, well, that's really in my job description, I don't have to call you to tell you I let him go. Well, you know, I think there has to be something in his contract too that says he's going to get paid, you know, awfully well, not being a head football coach. Or he'd be fired already.
Oh, yeah. Well, he just got an extension. Favre got him, for that first year, Favre got him an extension. You know, and so they still have to pay that man because it's not like cutting a player. Getting rid of a coach is not like getting rid of a player. Two different things. So, you know, they get rid of Chili. They still got to pay Chili. You know, and Chili might just be like, I'm getting paid, so I am going to go coach a high school team. It is what it is.
Right.
Live with it. I'm going to be the richest high school coach ever.
Yeah. I mean, more power to him. I mean, he did what he had to do. And they were successful last year. But, you know, they're getting beat down.
But, see, this is why I think they need to fire Chili. This is my reasoning behind the firing of Chili is because they can still salvage some of their season. Like, they're not totally out of it in Minnesota yet. You know, the win they got this week helps them. They can hang around. I mean, they're 3-5. At 3-5, 8 games in, they still can turn this thing around.
Sure, but is that
but I think they need a spark.
Job.
With Chili there, it's not going, but I don't think they're going to turn it around with Chili there because I think they hate him.
Well,
I don't think none of the players like him. And I think if you get rid of him, you take that cancer out of the locker room, away from the team, and I think that turns everybody around a bit. You know, I think that there's still some season to be saved, and I think if you want to save your season, if you want to keep yourself in contention because the NFC is not as strong, you know, they have to make a move now.
Well, you know, I want to say this. I'm going to throw this back because, you know, the irony of this is that where the friction started from is that they talked about the fact that Chile wasn't using all aspects of the offense. In some ways, he was trying to run a more conservative offense, allow his defense, and minimize mistakes. And Brett pushed against that, and then Brett got on his little run, and everybody drank the Kool-Aid. And I know I said from the beginning, I said, if you get Brett to play like Elway in the end,
sure,
run the football, you got Terrell Davis, you know, run the football kind of philosophy, you know, do that. You got a great defense, and then Brett, you got to make three or four throws at the end of the game to win it. We might win 19-14. You know, we can win on that. But everybody got intoxicated by it. So the irony of this whole thing is that what probably will end up happening is that's what you're going to have to end up going back to in order to establish these wins. I know Brett had this great fourth quarter and all this other great comeback. But in the end, I think Minnesota's going to end up back in the same spot creating that kind of philosophy. That's the terrible thing about it, is that, you know, but Chill just didn't have the ability to convey that message and command that message. But everybody who knows, I mean, people who know football can see that that's the way they should be playing, and they're not. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, too, if they can win a couple games, and no matter how they win them, and if it's, you know, fourth quarter heroics by Brett, I think right now the reason that Chile's there is because Brett's there, and Favre wields more power than you think. And if Chile were to get fired, you know, Brett would melt down. And right now he can still sell tickets and they can still salvage the team and salvage the season that way. And it gives them a shot. It gives people a reason to go to the stadium and watch the football game. But, you know, it's going to be real interesting what they look like next year. They still have a hell of a defense, and they can still win some football games. But I think you're right. I think talk too much about Jerry Jones again, but he really didn't want to fire Wade. You know, it wasn't. He doesn't really think. You know, I don't think he believes that. You know, the situation down in Dallas is going to be much different, and I don't think the situation up in Minnesota would be much different if you fired Chile. What are you going to really get out of anybody who takes over this team at this point? So you might as well stick with Chile, not try to pay somebody else. Keep Brett around. Keep the fans believing that they could go to the playoffs, and let the chips fall where they may. At the end of the season, load up that white Bronco and send them all out of town. You know, it's they're gonna go.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the ownership. You know, I got this thing recently. I mean, at some point. And this is where I agree with y'all, you know, in terms of a certain point in Dallas. But leadership, we have a void in leadership. You know, people in America, people don't want to make a call. Everybody sees it's obvious, and they want it. I guess why I give Jerry credit is that he did make that move, where a lot of folks are just afraid to piss off a lot of people or change directions to do the right thing. And a lot of this is
He should have fired Wade 5 weeks ago. He should have fired Wade.
Yeah,
if he really wanted to make a move and try to keep things, you know, in perspective and try to keep that playoff hunt alive, he should have done something at least 3 weeks ago. You know, but at 1-7, he might as well kept Wade right there. How much better is this team going to be this year?
His rationale was, which he explained, which, you know, he at least had a rationale. Most of these cats don't even have a rationale. His rationale was, I want to see how the defense played against Jacksonville and how they played against Green Bay. If they had played better against Jacksonville and Green Bay, we would be having this conversation. But I want to see the effort. Didn't see the effort in those two games, but like I had to make a move. Up in Minnesota, do you see any semblance of a philosophy or anything? I mean, he's trying to articulate one, whether you agree with him or not.
Right.
He got a plan. You might say his plan is not right, but The reason why he's good at what he does is he has a plan, and he's successful. And his plan, but he got a plan. Up in Minnesota, I don't know, what is the plan?
Well, that
what is the plan? From what y'all see, what is the plan?
Well, I think they believe that
the plan.
I believe
the plan is
it don't matter what Chili's plan is, because Brett is gonna call whatever the hell he want to call.
Right, exactly.
Brett is going up to the line. F your plan.
Right. That's the problem.
This is what I see.
That's the problem. When you Minnesota, you got to start thinking like Pittsburgh, because you a small market. You got to have a plan. You ain't Jerry Jones. See, Jerry, as much as it's crazy as this, is Jerry can figure out how to retool this and get the machine going. You ain't that market.
No, he cannot. The only way that Jerry is going to win is if he goes and gets a football mind to tell him what to do and give him 2 or 3 years to get it done. And that's the same thing that they need to do in Minnesota. Get off of the field. Go back in the office, answer the phone, be the businessman that you are, and leave the football to football people. Jerry Jones has not had success unless he had football people around him.
But there's always a lure to Dallas. I don't care lifestyle, living. There's a lure to Dallas. There ain't no lure to Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota, they're no different than Dallas. I mean, Dallas,
it's cold as hell in Minnesota. You try to get free agents. You try to get people. You try to get folks built around it. But there's got to be more going on in Minnesota. You got to have a little bit more. Your era is not the same era as Jerry. They can always sell Dallas.
Nothing else.
No taxes in Texas, is it?
I don't think there's like state tax or something like that.
Yeah, but you still got to play football. And Jerry Jones is not going to GM a football team. He has to find somebody that's going to do that. He's going to have to find somebody.
You got to get the coach. He ain't giving the GM up. But at least I know what Jerry – I mean, I have a sense of whether I disagree with it or agree with it. I sense where he's trying to go. I don't know what they're doing in Minnesota.
Minnesota's had more success than Dallas has in the last 5 years. At least Chili had brought them around, you know.
I think it boils down to, if I'm looking at rosters, if I'm a football player, I'm trying to win, and I'm looking at rosters, and I'm trying to figure out where I want to go to win, I'm going to Minnesota before I go to Dallas.
And
they got 28 on offense.
Yeah,
they got a pretty damn good defense.
Dallas is like LA
and who? You can always love somebody to LA.
But I mean, if you're a free agent and you're going to Dallas, where are you going to play? Because Dallas, we all agree that Dallas doesn't have that much talent, but they think they got a ton of talent. So if you're a free agent and you think you're going to take DeMarcus West spot, you think you're going to take Marion Barber and Felix Jones spot, it's possible. You ain't taking Romo spot. You ain't taking none of them three receiver spots. Because, again, all of these dudes are highly paid. You ain't taking Jason Witten spot.
And if they're like LA, they're like the Clippers. They ain't like the Lakers, because they haven't had that kind of success in a long time.
But like I said before, I mean, in our lifetime, most kids we know who are like probably 20 has never really seen Dallas be good.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they have seen
the Raiders be good, though.
I'm with that. I mean, when we talk about Chili's situation, my biggest thing is, I don't see a plan, and with everything, I agree with everything y'all saying. That's what makes me even like, wow, you know, they got the best setup, and how do you not have a good plan for the finish?
Mm-hmm.
And the same issues with Brett was the same thing I said, Brett in Green Bay. Same thing I said about Brett going to the Jets. Is if you can't get Brett to play like Elway later in his career, and the only reason, I guess the reason why Elway played that way, because he was so hungry to get a Super Bowl. Maybe because Brett got that one Super Bowl, he's just trying to get icing on the cake, and you know, maybe you don't have that same kind of leverage over him. But if you can't get Brett to play like Elway did later in his career, with a running game and just make three or four throws down the stretch, then you're not gonna win the Super Bowl. Because Brett could rise up in that Super Bowl game and do it, but you got to get him to play like that, and he not committed to doing it. His ego won't allow.
See, y'all forget that like Brett is not winning no Super Bowl. Brett Favre is not gonna win no Super Bowl. Why? Because he signed a deal that y'all don't know about. Brett Favre signed a secret deal with Satan that says Satan was going to allow him to have a good season, but from that point on, Satan let him win a Super Bowl. From that point on, every season had to end with a pick six. And as you see, Brett is hella consistent. He's keeping him to his end of the deal. Satan gave him a Super Bowl.
I think
he has to throw a pick six at the end of the season. He ain't winning no damn Super Bowl. He's going to throw a pick six to lose the game.
I think Minnesota's problem, too, was the arrogance of not having the number one receiver on the field and not making a move like grabbing a Randy Moss a lot earlier. They was a desperation pick when they snatched up Moss. And, you know, they should have done something like that much earlier.
They tried to get Vincent Jackson. They tried to pry him away from San Diego, but San Diego was asking for way too much. And they didn't want to pay that price.
Well, you got to keep going. You can't just, you can't think that you're going to go into the season without your number one receiver or something that's going to be close. After the first couple of games, they should have realized that.
But see, this is what I love about the Patriots is that, you know, you got tight end setups. You got some receivers. I mean, you got some ways in which you might be able to introduce different formations that you could rely on. You use a little bit more of Adrian Peterson. I mean, yeah, you can go out and do that, but you have to rethink your talent that you have and what can you do to make that adjustment, given that you got a championship defense. Yeah, we're not the number one receiver, but you had some other pieces with your tight ends and some different pieces that you could roll out there that could give you a productive offense. Maybe you don't score 35 points, but you score enough points for that defense to help you win games. And I didn't see that shift in that philosophy. Well, I say,
no,
that's because Brett calling the plays.
That's right. And, you know, when they got really
the problem with Chili right now. That's why Chili just needs to go berserk. He just needs to go berserk and just start benching cats. Because it's like, I can have whatever philosophy I want, but unless this sucker MC get to the line and call the play I call, I'm over here looking stupid.
I'm gonna tell you, Brett. If you could throw that, I'm sitting three tight ends on and one wide receiver. And if you can work with that, work with it. Right now, we got nothing but a running formation out there.
That's exactly it. You know, and I'd be telling Brett, you can throw this pass, or you can throw this pass, or you can throw this pass. But if you throw this pass, you go sit over here. This is exactly, I got a little spot. I have this spot right next to me, and the clipboard is sitting there. You can hold it when you get over here. You are going to play like I tell you to play. You are going to play like I tell you to play. Otherwise, you're not going to play.
That's right.
If I got to bench you, I'm not starting you next week.
That's right.
Take your hillbilly ass back to hit Kiln, and you're angry. You ain't going to call me to go fishing or nothing, ever.
So the other thing that happened this week in football is Randy Moss landed. Randy Moss landed in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Impressions. What do you guys think? Moss in Tennessee, how's that going to work out?
I just love it. It's like everybody, it's like the girl that everybody think they're going to tame. So with everybody else's relationship, what you like was, we going to really work this out. I think she got her act together. And I'm like, and smart people. It's like smart people saying the same thing. And I just be going, didn't I hear this before? Did I hear this like three times this year? And I'm just, what I'm happy for Randy is he running game. Like, he done got everybody. I mean, he's so enticing and so whatever. It just, he drives smart people to make crazy ass decisions. But, you know, somehow he's going to make it work. I mean, he had a point because if he don't do this, he in Turkey like Allen Iverson. The only problem is that there ain't no NFL in Turkey. So other option you got, baby? You know, it's like, man. But the beauty of it is
that he can do it. He can do it. He can get down there in Tennessee and just show out. He's got a nice running game. He can do it. And if he does, he's going to make fools out of Childress. He may even make a fool out of Belichick. You know?
And see, I agree with you, Ray, but then I don't agree with you. And this is why. I heard something real interesting last week before Moss signed. Chris Carter was on Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio. And he broke Randy down. And one of the things he said about Randy's on-field play is that he doesn't – his biggest critique of Randy Moss right now at this point in his career is that Randy doesn't beat the double team. Randy's getting double teamed, and he's opening things up for everybody else, but he's not beating double teams. And he's saying that a receiver of Randy's caliber should be destroying double teams. And that's why I don't think Randy's going to – I think Randy's going to open up a lot. I think Randy's going to make everybody else better. I don't think Randy's going to put up numbers, though. And I don't know how that's going to make Randy feel.
That's the competitive fight. See, this is why, I mean, I get mad when people put T.O. in this conversation. Because that's T.O. T.O.'s got that dog ass. You see T.O. run across the middle and get popped and just get up? I mean, T.O. runs all the damn routes. He gets double-teamed. Even at this age, he still fights. You ain't going to cover me. It's that swagger that Chris Carter was talking about, that number one receivers carry, that Randy has never really carried. And to me, you know, he going to make plays. I like Jeff Fisher. I think he's a great coach. He'll find a way to make it work. But that the way Chris Carter broke him down was amazing because of that. And that's what he can have so much more longevity if he worked on it. So what keeps you from doing that, Randy? That's the thing that you have to ask yourself.
But again, he wants that contract at the end of the year. You know, he's been saying that he wants to be able to walk out and get a price that he thinks he deserves. If Tennessee utilizes him right, they're going to reap what Minnesota should have reaped. You know, they're going to, you know, it only took Randy a couple games in Minnesota to realize this is not a good situation for me to be in. That tells me that locker room was really, you know, he should have.
No,
been
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that was part of why he left.
You know, he got up in Minnesota and realized, you know, this is a joke. This is a joke up here. You know, Chili's not running Peterson like he should. You know, this should be a whole lot different. This is not a team on the rise. You know, he gets down to Tennessee, he looks at that team, all they're missing is a Randy Moss. If he does well, you don't know what Tennessee might turn into. They could be a monster.
That's a problem. That's what Chris Carter was saying. Chris Carter's like, I elevate you. I put you on my back. Okay, you don't have this. That's leadership. I elevate you. Y'all missing this. I elevate you. Whatever happened to I'm that good, I elevate you.
Right.
I beat you with mine, and I beat you with yours. What happened to that kind of attitude?
You were expecting that from Childress?
Well, I'm from Randy.
Oh.
I'm saying, like, yeah, I didn't see it, but he can see the talent. Like, okay, lead.
But you don't know what he was.
See, and to me, like, wide receivers can only lead other wide receivers. If you got a wide receiver as your leader, you got a problem, in my opinion, in the NFL. There aren't very many. Even the most upstanding wide receivers, you know, you take a Marvin Harrison. He led by example. He wasn't a rah-rah type of guy. He led by example. He was an example because he worked with Peyton. But you just don't see wide receivers in that role. You can't. You'd be hard pressed to name me a modern day receiver who's a leader on his team. Hines Ward. That's it. And Hines Ward's a different kind of football player. He's a football player more than just a receiver. But that's it.
Start with Hines and end with Hines.
Yeah, I mean, they play too far. One, they play too far away from the ball.
I don't think long ago we weren't that far away from having receivers who were leading, you know, playing that leadership role. I mean, I think we've moved away here in 2 or 3 years away because some of these cats got a lot older. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we had pretty much an era where we had receivers playing that role because they just had that dog-ass attitude. And I'm saying when you as great as Randy, it's not just about receivers, it's about greatness. The great players, whether they're receivers, quarterbacks, linemen, whatever it might be, lead. That's Chris Conner's a leader.
Randy's never been a leader, though. Randy in Minnesota played with Chris Conner. He played with Randall Cunningham. You know, he played with veteran guys who led. He left there. He went to the Raiders, a team that needed leadership. It was a disaster. He goes to New England, Belichick, that whole organization, Brady, all of those Brewski, Vrabel, all of those dudes on the defensive side of the ball. They got leaders on the offensive side of the ball. What happens? He falls in line, has his greatest season ever. He has his best years when he doesn't have to lead. He plays his best when he doesn't have to lead. He plays his best when he can just be a guy. He can go in, do his Randy thing, and go about his business. When he has to lead, you got – it may not be all receivers, but when Randy Moss has to lead, you have a problem. You have a weak-ass locker room.
So the question is, he ain't got to lead in Tennessee?
The question is, does he have to lead in Tennessee? Does he have to – I don't know. I don't think they have strong leaders. I think Tennessee is bringing him in to be. I think they realize that he can open up things for the rest of that offense because they don't have a receiver. They haven't had a receiver since, damn it, Ernest Givens, who could attract Haywood Jeffries and them cats who could attract any attention. You know what I'm saying? Away from, you know, who commanded a double team. And so I think that opens it up. I think that's going to open it up for a Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
Because now that you ain't putting eight in the box. I wish you would. You know, now it's really pick your poison. You know, and that's going to open it up for their receivers. Again, Randy Moss, I mean, Percy Harvin, they say Percy Harvin got into a fight over MRI with Chili. It wasn't over no MRI. Percy Harvin was like, yo, man, I've been open for the last 3 games because Moss has been here. That's now fun. I'm not going to be open no more. That's why him and Chili got into a fight. That's why him and Chili got into a fight. He mad because he just released the cat that made his life so easy. You know, he just released the guy that was finna give him a new contract. You know, that's why him and Chili was finna come to blows. It's because Moss and Wes Welker, he probably want Moss back. Wes Welker ain't been doing jack. I think I saw him on the milk carton the other day because he ain't been producing at all since Moss left. Moss, it might be safe to say that Moss made Wes Welker what he was.
And if I'm Fisher, I'm spoon feeding Moss to death. I'm just saying, you know, that you'll see in the first game if he has any sense at all. I'm trying to get Moss 175 yards and 3 touchdowns. I want him just giddy. I want him so happy.
Because what people on the outside don't realize, what the media, I think, forgets, is that you still can't cover Randy Moss 1-on-1. New York tried that shit. Jets tried that. And what did he do? He made the best corner in the league pull his hammy as he reached out and yanked out a one-handed touchdown catch. Okay? You hear what I'm saying? You can't cover that man 1-on-1. The Jets were arrogant enough to put Randy on Revis Island. And Randy showed him what for. So the rest of the league knows that, and that's why you see Percy Harvey getting off. That's why you saw Wes Welker getting off. And whoever Tennessee decides to put in that role, you're going to see Kenny Britt or Nate Washington or, you know, Lavelle Hawkins, whoever. They're going to be getting off. CJ2K is going to be getting off.
But I think part of
it's because Randy's in the building and Randy's on the field. You got a game plan. He's like Vic. You've got a game plan for him, whether he's playing great or horrible. You don't want to be that team that he turns it around on.
I think the biggest thing, you can cue off of him. You can tell, okay, it's like it's going to be a run. I can tell when he's coming to the line. It's going to be like it's going to be a run. you know, he looked eager, like he on fire. And some of these great defenses pick up on them cues. They pick up on them, and it's gonna be.
And you can pick up on that cue, but then what do you do if you're wrong? That's where you watch him yank a one-hander, snatch a one-hander out of the air.
Yeah, but them great defenses seem to shut him down. They get physical on him. And so, I mean, Tennessee, we'll see.
And but that's the luxury of it, is that, yeah, they may shut him down, but you still got to pay attention to him.
So you think it's
still
got to
account for him.
I'm not sure if they're gonna make that run. You sound like y'all saying they're gonna make that run.
Who, Tennessee?
Well,
the Super Bowl?
Kenny Britt.
I don't think
hurt.
They're gonna make no run to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying
that
at all.
Kenny,
rewind the tape. Run the track back. we gotta do that take over. No, I ain't saying Tennessee's gonna win no Super Bowl. What I'm saying is I understand why they picked him up. I understand why they picked him up and why he makes sense for them. He makes them better. Do I think he makes them a Super Bowl contender? No, because I don't think they have a quarterback that can consistently get him the ball.
So if that's true, so this is back what I'm saying about, you know, why you bring people in for what reason. You just don't shop it because you can go get it if it don't make sense with your long-term game plan.
If you are in the playoff hunt and your wide receiver went down, Kenny Britt went down. And they didn't know if he was going to come back in 6 weeks or if he would come back any time this year. And so all of a sudden, Randy Moss is sitting out there like a fly in the soup. You go get him. You go and get him. Because without Kenny Britt, you don't really make a playoff run. And you don't want to be the team that didn't pick up Randy Moss. They had to go get him. He was available.
If you can guarantee he's going to act right, because that could set you back. Look at the left.
He played four games in Minnesota, and apparently didn't act right for Minnesota, and they cut his ass loose. They were reeling before that, though. When they asked
what Brett said, the schism. The schism was there before Randy. Randy was supposed to be the remedy. Randy's not the remedy for Jack, okay? Randy's not the remedy for any locker room problems, again, because Randy's not a leader. But if you bring Randy in to just do what he needs to do, then you're going
to
be all right. But if you're asking him to lead or asking him to bring some intangibles to your team, good luck with that.
I'm just trying to figure out, unless I'm talking about this is going to put me on the top, I can win the Super Bowl, I ain't bringing it.
you and Jerry Jones then, motherfucker. You got that mentality, you go do it yourself. You're the only one. When they talk to Fisher, only one team
put in for him, and a whole bunch of other people got receiver injuries.
You'd like to think only one team. Everybody that didn't get him said, we didn't put in for him. Everybody behind him.
Next time I'm trying to tell you,
and I got a lot of love for Moss. But I said, shoot, if he ain't trying to put me over, that's why I see I got that business. He's trying to put me over the top. You know, I think Jeff Fisher thinks he's going to put him over the top. But he's got to think that, or I'm just not bringing him in for that.
Jeff Fisher said before they even got him, they asked Jeff Fisher what kind of team he would go to, and he said he could go to any team. He may end up with anybody. He said, you don't think I'm not going to have my whole team walk through that back door and tell me to go after him? You know, they wanted to know what kind of disruption he was going to be, all these things. You had players in Minnesota mad that he made that comment about the food. But they didn't talk about his game. Did you hear anybody in Minnesota go, he didn't play a good game? Did you hear anybody, you know, knocking him, for even the play that he apparently gave up on? Did you hear anybody on the Minnesota team talk about that? They were all shocked when he got cut. They were all shocked that he was let go.
This is my question. Why is everybody always shocked when it don't work out for Randy?
You know what I'm saying? We keep, don't give me an excuse.
I get it.
Like, no, and then it becomes everybody else's problem. How is it? Help me with that.
How are you shocked that he got picked up? How are you shocked?
How are you shocked that the Titans
lose their wide receiver and they pick him up? You're saying unless Randy Moss is going to take you to the Super Bowl, you'd leave him go.
But why is it? But everybody trying to say it's everybody else's problems. How the hell did Randy end up with three teams for a reason?
Well,
in the season.
Well,
I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's a fair assessment. Like, I get why he got jettisoned out of New England on his own accord because he was being a diva. He was being a mark. He was being a punk. He was being a sucker. So he got something on his way. Minnesota was a whole different situation. It was a whole different situation. I mean, yeah, Randy's that girl that everybody wants to tame, but it was like that girl that everybody wants to tame walked in, and it was coke on the table. It was strippers dancing around. And she was like, wait a minute. I thought I was going to get to play Heist Wife at least for 2 weeks.
Right.
It just looks like a whole different type of setup. I need to go back to where I was at. At least I was well taken care of over there. You know what I'm saying? And that's his whole little speech after that Vikings-Patriots game was exactly that. Like, yo, man, I had a nice setup. I had three squares a day. You know what I'm saying? The bills was paid. You know, my man kept me in good clothing. You know, I looked good every week, and I got fed up with that and wanted to do something different and wanted to go somewhere else. He got me an Escalade. I wanted a Bentley. You know what I'm saying? and I'm trying to get a third band on this ring. You know what I'm saying? And it's like they wasn't coughing that up for him. And so he's like, well, I'm gonna go over here. I'm gonna go play over here. You walk in, the bills ain't paid on time, mortgage overdue. You know what I'm saying? Car don't work right. You know, instead of driving that Escalade, now you're driving an Explorer from '96. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Minnesota was. And then they kick him out. You know. It's like, wait a minute, your thing already messed up, and you kicking me out like I'm the problem.
You know, Randy talked in New England. He wanted that contract. He tried to shame them into paying him. He tried to shame them into opening up that checkbook. When he got to Minnesota, he didn't say much when he got there because he felt that it was probably a good situation. They never played him right. They never
And what happened was Randy got into a staring contest with a man with two glass eyes. You know what I'm saying? You're going to lose. He ain't got to blink. Don't have to.
And after that,
you know what I'm saying? And New England knows. They got it's like when you sign with New England, they stamp an expiration date on your back when you're not looking. You know what I'm saying? They put it right on the back of your neck so you can't never see it. And they wait for that date to get close. They say, on this date, this guy's going to expire, and we need to be done with him by that date.
Yeah.
And Randy had that expiration date on the back of his neck, and he couldn't see it. But management saw it, and they know when they're going to pay you and when they're not going to pay you. And if they made Tom Brady wait, you're going to wait.
Well, that is what he went to. So he goes to Minnesota. They don't play him right for three games. They're not hitting him. They're not targeting him. They're not exploiting him. So then when they get into that New England game, and all week long he's saying, they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and they have a tendency to do this. And then when they get in the game and they get their tails handed to them, probably in much the way that Randy told him it was going to happen, now when he gets to that press conference, he's pissed. He's angry. I'm not getting balls thrown my way. You're not creating plays for me. You know, you let Brett do whatever he wants to, and I can't even tell you how you're going to get choked. You don't respect me. I don't really respect you. So I'm going to talk about how good this team is. You're going to get angry. I know it. Big deal. What are you going to do, cut me? That's what they did.
This is about awareness. So Randy, and so we look at this over, I like to look at this over the entirety. So from the time he left Minnesota the first time, he went to Oakland. We talk about Oakland. Then he had a few good years in New England. I mean, and over his career, putting your life in perspective,
you know. So that's my big thing is he never seemed to put his life in perspective, and then he gets reflective. So things happen after the fact. People look at that, but he never has a moment of being reflective in terms of what role I and understanding where I am in my career. And that's what this move in Tennessee is going to really tell you or not. Does he have a reality? Do you understand that you're not in the NBA and you can't go to Turkey and make $1 million? This is it. And you're not going to get that payday. That payday he's looking for is done. Nobody's going to give him that payday. The only team that might give him that payday, and depending on how they set it up, will be Tennessee. Other than that, nobody's going to try and bring that kind of money to the table. So do you have an understanding of where you sit? And that's where he seems to miss it all the time. Regardless of what he thinks about everybody else, you ain't got the leverage too much more. And that's the part that he's got to realize. I don't think he realizes that.
Yeah.
Well, again, you know, we'll see how Tennessee plays it. We'll see how Tennessee plays him. You know. But again, if I were Fisher, I would spoon feed him about 3 touchdowns this weekend. Just hand him right.
Yeah.
But
do you think he got a big payday left? Right.
I think that if he finishes out the season strong, yes, he's got a big payday left. He still has 3, maybe 4 good years. And there will be teams this year that will court a free agent that don't have to, you know, again, it all depends on what comes out of this collective bargaining. But if nobody has to give up anything to sign him, it's all money in his pocket. It's all money in his pocket. Randy Moss will be one of the highest paid receivers in the league. You don't think Terrell could get a contract better this year than he got at Cincinnati after the year he's putting up? He still has talent. People are recognizing that. You're going to put up with the quirkiness, but you always have to. Some things you have
T.O.
to give up.
Everybody loves T.O., and I don't even love T.O. in the same category as Randy.
You don't lump them in the same category, and why is that?
I love the way because for T.O., it ain't never been a question for him. You saw it last night in his play on the field.
Randy Moss wants you to compare him to T.O.? Randy Moss is probably sitting at home thinking, you know, didn't I catch 26 touchdowns? You know, if you had, I don't know. Tell me where Randy's been played correctly. And then tell me why a team that would look at his talent, there's got to be a team out there that says, look, only New England played him correctly. Minnesota, New England. When Culpepper got hurt, you couldn't play him correctly. There was no reason to keep Randy in Minnesota. You might as well trade him. He went to Oakland. At Oakland, unless he could figure out a way to get the ball snapped to him, make him throw it, and run and catch it, nobody was going to get the ball like he should get it. Finally, in New England, he got that. He probably thought he was going to get that in Minnesota. But if somebody can just get him the damn ball, he's the best receiver out of all the older receivers in the league. He still may be the best receiver in football. And quirkiness aside, you're still going to pay him. Somebody's going to pay him.
Yeah. I'm questioning whether or not this would be a good thing to see, because I'm questioning whether or not I don't think he gets the payday. I think he gets paid unless it's very incentive laden.
So, yeah, he may get his money, he may not. I want to switch gears real quick and talk some NBA real quick. I've stumbled upon this this article by Jason Whitlock. And this dude, I mean, the title of the article is that he may be better off trading Bosch. Now, see, everybody's starting to see what I saw. When they got together, Bosch was the weak link because we didn't know what this man was. And he got torched again tonight, as we talked about in the opening of the show, 46 points. And it wasn't by Duncan. It wasn't KG. It wasn't Blake Griffin. It wasn't Stoudemire. It was none of the bigs you would expect to drop 46 on anybody. It was Paul Millsap. Little Paul Millsap, all right? Put up 46 on him. That's bad. So and I'm gonna basically sum it up. Basically, what Whitlock is, I'm gonna give a few quotes from it because Whitlock is entertaining. Though you know, I may not always agree with his brother, but he keeps it real to a certain extent. So you know, here's one quote. He said, "On the NBA circuit, Toronto is white Vegas, where jungle fever is celebrated by local strippers and escorts 41 times a year. Toronto is a great city to put up numbers and build a rep." You know, but and then he goes on to say that he don't need a big three. Wade and James need a rebounding and defensive goon. He said all the great ones all had their goons. Jordan had Oakley, Grant, and Rodman. Magic had Rambis. Isaiah and Dumars had Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn, Rodman. Kobe had Shaq, and now he's got Ron Artest. And he said, look at Boston's big three. Kevin Garnett is a trash-talking, cheap shot-taking goon. And I don't agree with all that, but you get the point. Basically, he's saying, you know, the other night, the Hornets laid out a blueprint when CP3 came in, dropped 19 dimes, and they made Okafor look like Moses Malone. And he even predicted that this story was written last week after the Hornets won. And he predicted that Tuesday night at American Airlines Arena, with Darren Williams, Paul Millsap, Al Jefferson, Utah was going to try and do the same thing, which they obviously successfully did. So this is interesting. You know, all these new Miami fans out there, they're looking at bus schedules, looking at Chris Bosh, looking at bus schedules, looking at Chris Bosh, and wondering when to push that boy out in the street. Because he's going to become the scapegoat.
I mean, hey, you're hitting it on the head, man. That, to me, is they got to make some decisions. But I said look at the first 20 games, but we probably won't even look at that far.
I mean, he even goes as far as to say that they should trade Bosh for Varejao or Lewis Scola.
Wow.
I mean, he says Varejao is ideal. He's high energy. He's 6'10". He played with LeBron. Scola's off to a ridiculous start. He's putting up 22-12, and they make half as much money as Bosh.
Now, Bosh didn't want to go to Cleveland, did he?
But at this point, he ain't got no choice unless he got a no trade.
My goodness.
Like I said, you know, everybody was talking about the super team. This is basketball, baby. It ain't played on paper. It's played on hardwood. Yeah, wood is used to make that paper, but it ain't the same. And you can put together whatever you kind of dream dynasty video game team you want, but it's a team game. And, yeah, you got three guys, but that ain't a perfect three. It's not a perfect three because – you got two guys that do pretty much the same thing and another guy, you don't really know what he does. Because, again, he was in Toronto, you know.
And wait till they play a Lakers team and wait till they play some, you know, Boston again. I mean, it's going to be, if Utah can exploit them the way that they did, wait till some of these other teams with the talent.
I mean, Omega Oakland scored 26 points.
Right.
He went 12 for 13. Come on.
Okafor
has never been a scorer. He ain't had a game like that since UConn.
And Pat Riley's going to have to look at that. That Miami Heat team might have to look like the old Chicago Bulls, you know, and run it with two and get yourself some.
But see, they're not even the Chicago Bulls because even with those Bulls teams, Longley played defense. Longley could guard another team's big man. You know, right. Rodman could guard another team's big man. Bill Winnington, Will Perdue, they play defense. They don't even have that. They don't even have
post defense. That's right.
They don't have anybody who can play post defense. All of their guys are undersized. And then the one guy they do have who's big enough is Big Z. And he looks like Herman Munster.
With the big feet.
Yeah. You know, you can't be 7'2 with bad feet.
No.
You know, so, I mean, the Heat,
but that's what I mean.
In my opinion,
they may have to build it like that. They may have to look at this year and go, you know, this isn't, we got to get rid of one of these contracts, because instead of this one guy, we need four guys that'll do exactly what we tell them. We need.
And I was talking to my brother JJ, you know, if he's listening, yeah, I'm going to talk about you, dog. He's a LeBron fan. He's a LeBron fan. And, you know, I respect his fandom, and, you know, I try not to, you know, poke and prod him too much on the LeBron issues. But he and I were talking. He came over the other night to watch the Bulls and Celtics play, because I got NBA TV at the crib, and it's a beautiful thing because I get to watch all types of games that I wouldn't normally care to watch. But I get to watch them anyway, and I ain't doing nothing else at this time of night, so I'll be watching NBA games and all types of other basketball minutiae, but that's me. But he came over, and we was rapping, and, you know, we was talking about the league, and I was telling him what the Heat need to do. And, again, Jason Whitlock, I need to start writing columns, man. I swear to God, I need to start writing columns. Because what I said was they need to trade Bosh. They need to trade Bosh, and then they need to go after Oden in the offseason. And Oden's going to be, one, he's going to be a defensive big. Two, he's going to be cheaper because of the injuries he's had. And then you can get other pieces. But he'll give you what you need. He'll rebound. He'll block shots. He ain't got to score 20 points.
No.
And that's the thing with Bosh. His value comes in his scoring. You don't need another dude to score 20. Not with LeBron and D-Wade. You don't.
Yeah,
you know, and I think the way this is playing out is people are starting to realize that.
But you think, I mean, you know, I always said, you know, wait for the first 20 games. We're getting close to there. You know, but you think before they move Bosh, they're going to move the coach?
Of course. Of course. The coach doesn't cost $100 million. You know what I'm saying? It's easier to make. It's a lot easier to make that move than it is to move $100 million. Mm-hmm. You know, to move a contract that big, it's easier to just kind of, you know, what you're going to see is you're going to see, you know, the halftime of one of the games, you know, it's going to be about the third quarter, about halfway through the third quarter. You know, the Heat are probably going to be down by a few. They're going to be getting slaughtered in the post like they usually do. And you're just going to see, you're going to hear a commotion in the crowd. And, you know, the cameras are going to be panning around the stadium trying to figure out what's causing the commotion. You're going to see Riley just walking down the aisle. He's going to walk all the way around, all the way down the aisle from his box. He's just going to stroll right down the aisle. He's not going to go back way. He's not going to go through the tunnel. He's going to walk right down. He's going to go right down to the Heat bench, and he's going to look at Spoelstra. He's just going to pat him on the shoulder with one of these and be like, scoot over. And it's going to be it. It's going to be a wrap right there. He just go pat him on the shoulder like, slide down, man. Bring an extra chair.
Yep.
And that's going to be it, man. He's going to have the trainer sitting on the floor at the end of the bench because he even took his chair.
He talking about the big three's weakest link. Wow. Yeah, Jason went off on him.
Wait till tomorrow. After he calls out. Wait till tomorrow.
I'm telling you. I mean, he just goes in on Bosh. He basically says, you know, Bosh, he said, he called him a homeless man, dirt and the whiskey. Oh, man.
And he was the one that was most loose and open and, you know, was, you know, kind of presented himself, and you know, now he's stiffening up.
And that's what I saw when in the off season when they were doing the interviews, and he was like, LeBron and D Wade got it. They felt the pressure. They knew what they were getting into. And Bosh was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, we're going to come out here, we're going to play some ball, and we're going to win. And I think that's why D-Wade and LeBron had such rabbit ears, is because they felt the pressure. You know, I don't think Bosh understood what he was getting himself into. You know, he was excited. I think he was just excited to be out of Toronto. You know, I think he was excited to be in the light. I think he was excited for people to know his name, for people to pay attention to him. And now people are paying attention to him, and now people know his name. And now people are going to start digging into his game, you know, like he's never experienced before. And I don't know if he's due for that.
But remember, we talked about it this summer, too. You know, can you imagine that locker room? Can you imagine that locker room tonight? When they got back in the locker room and everybody's sitting in their little cubicle, and can Bosch feel the stairs on the back of his head? Can he feel it? Because you know they had to be looking at him like you're messing this shit up. You know, the pressure is on. You messing it up.
Because you know, he may get thrown under the bus in the immediate future. Bosch is going to get blamed for this. You know, he's going to get thrown under the bus. But at the end of the day, D-Wade and LeBron's legacy is on the line.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to take the long-term brunt of the failures of this team, where Bosch may get beat on now. You know what I mean? Those guys are going to take the long-term brunt of this. And maybe it takes Bosch getting to the playoffs and getting his ass kicked for a year. Because that's what happened with Gasol. Because Gasol was soft, too, when he first got to L.A., and I think that's why they lost that first series against the Celtics, was that the Celtics just said, look, we're going to beat the hell out of y'all, and y'all going to let us because y'all soft, you know. But then what happened is the next year they brought in Ron, you know, Artest comes in. And now and even the year before that, Gasol stepped his game up and got tougher. You know, and maybe Bosch can make that move. I don't know. Again, this dude is a huge unknown. But I tell you what, these Heat fans is, like I said, they're looking at that bus schedule, looking at Chris Bosh, looking back at that bus schedule, and wondering.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, hell, you know, could you make a move for, you might make a move for Millsap. You know, the Bosch may be good out there in Utah and what they do. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, hell, see if the Bulls want to give up Noah.
Yeah, Noah. You know, so he can be, you know, because it's going to be real Hollywood.
Yeah, you know, like I said, they need a bruiser. I mean, like Whitlock said, they need a bruiser. They need somebody. They need at least one guy who could play some solid post defense, even if they brought in an old ass Ben Wallace or somebody like that. You just need somebody you know you gonna have. You can put him on somebody and not have to double, because that's what's gonna get them killed in the playoffs. Is that they're gonna have to double Dwight Howard. They're gonna have to double, you know, KG. They're gonna have to double Shaq. They gotta double these dudes because they can't guard them 1-on-1. You gotta double Gasol. You gotta double Bynum. You know, and they're not going to be able to double those guys. Their strength is going to be their defense. But if they got to double anybody, they're in trouble on defense, because then they can't play the pressure defense that they need to play, because they got to double, and somebody's going to be in help position all the damn time, and so that takes away from your ability to play pressure defense, and you know. Who knows what their half-court offense is going to look like. I think, you know, again, on paper, it looks like a great thing to have those three together. But, you know, I think those people that reserved judgment and was like, you know, I still think the Lakers are the team to beat. Miami will be in the mix, but I don't think they're ready for no championship. I think, you know, if you know basketball, I think that was your perspective to come out, is that when all of it went down, they still got to put a team together. And if you looked at the pieces that was available to them, they didn't have the pieces to be able to even match up with the Lakers, let alone match up with the other teams in the East after they made their moves. You know, after Boston basically signed every decent big man available, you know, and then this is something that I should have done last week, and I'll do it now. Props to Dwight Howard. He figured out how to play basketball over the summer. Let's all give him a round of applause. All of my peeps out there who think I ride Dwight Howard unfairly, I will give him this is me giving him his props. His footwork's better. He actually, you know, looks like he has some touch around the basket. Good job.
Well,
So all those people that say I'm too hard on Dwight Howard, there you go. That's me giving them props. That's as good as it's going to get.
I told you, Marcus.
Say what? I can hear you. I lost you for a second.
He's still looking for Hedo. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
He's still looking for Hedo, though.
Oh, yeah.
He missing Hedo, you know.
That whole team is soft. Yeah. That whole team in Orlando is soft. They got, you know, they were talking about, and I think you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, they were talking about moving Gilbert Arenas out there. And, you know, in my opinion, that wouldn't be a bad move. You either need to bring in a thug or somebody who's just crazy. And I think Gilbert qualifies as the latter. He's just crazy.
And as we're talking about just underachievers, is Lewis. Is Lewis, I mean, when he was in Seattle, people talked about him, but he just, for his skill set, he just does not bring the dog. How does he disappear?
He is, again, he's one of those guys who made a name for themselves when nobody was looking. I put up meaningless numbers and then got a big deal, went to a high-profile team, and is now showing who he really was and who he really is and who he really has been. I mean, they're everywhere. There's examples of these dudes everywhere. I mean, I call it the Sharif Abdul-Rahim factor, you know.
I was about to say, the emperor has no clothes team or whatever. We should come up with a name and then come up with a list.
Because that's what these brothers is, man. Like, they look, I mean, like Rudy Gay. He was one who was, I had him on a watch list. Like, okay, this may be one. Some team is going to pay this brother a bunch of money because he put up some numbers in Memphis. They're going to get him there and he's going to put up 14 points and 5 rebounds. And they're going to be paying him like $12 million a season. And they're going to be pissed.
That's it. I watch these guys, and he's like, turn the switch on. You
mm-hmm.
know, when Orlando guys just drummed by Miami, that was the game that Lewis should have been like Showtime.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put LeBron on me, you got to put somebody on me, but I'm going for 40 just because I need to. I mean, even if you're the modern-day version of Andrew Toney, I might not score on anybody else, but every time we play Miami, I'm going for 40. The night before, it might be 8.3 rebounds and 2 assists. But on Sunday afternoon with Dick Stockton, I'm hitting you for 40.
Right.
You know, and he didn't even do that, man. I just said, wow. And Dwight out there pulling his poor man version of Keane, he's spinning, baking off the glass. I mean,
running hooks through the lane. It was good to watch. It was good to see. Like I said, he spent his offseason learning the game of basketball. Fantastic for him.
He brought his game. He brought his game to it, and I applaud him with that. I'm glad you said that.
And this may be controversial, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Another guy who may be on that all emperors has no clothes team is Carmelo Anthony. I think he may be the poster boy. He's making noise out there talking about he want to be dealt. He ain't signing no extension. This, that, and the other. Carmelo, and maybe I said this on this show, but he's just Eras Dominique Wilkins. He's gonna have great numbers. He ain't winning no championship though. Carmelo Anthony is not gonna win a championship. He's just not. He's not that type of player. He's not that type of leader. He don't got that makeup. He don't got that build. He's not built for a title run. Somebody's going to give him a bunch of money. Somebody's going to give him an opportunity, but he's not going to win it.
Right. And that's a shame, given he seemed like he exhibited a much more dog when he's playing for Boeheim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those guys that, you know, had that, helped carry a team to a championship, and then got to the league and just got caught up in a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right.
And you're right. Your coach, my favorite coach, Cece, used to say, your best player has got to be your hardest worker defensively and everything. And the reason why is, and you get that sense when you watch LeBron, you watch D-Wade, you watch Kobe,
you know, when you talk about who's the best defender on the floor, you look at those guys because you know they're putting that work in. I think LeBron picked that up on that end. I don't see that when I see Carmelo, that he's willing to put that in, like all of it in to win it, that he's going to check the best player. He's going to do what needs to be done to get it. I don't see that all the time.
Yeah, in my opinion, Carmelo Anthony has the ability to be a 28, 29-point-a-game scorer and get you 10 rebounds. He should wake up with 10 rebounds. He should fall out of bed. He should arrive to the stadium, tie up his shoes, and he should have 10 rebounds every game. But he just don't have that commitment to doing those kind of things. I mean, he could score on anybody easily. He could score on anybody. But he don't have that commitment to doing those kind of things. And this is where I'm at with Kevin Durant too. Like, he can score on anybody. That's without a doubt. But what else does his game offer other than great shooting at this point in his career? Not a whole lot, and that's why I don't buy OKC. That's why I don't buy Oklahoma City. Yeah. They don't they're a lot like Miami. They don't have the post presence defensively or offensively. And then, I mean, Durant is great, but Durant right now doesn't necessarily make other guys around him better. He's not. He doesn't have any facilitator in him right now, and he's not like a glass cleaner. And I think those are two things that if you're going to have an impact on a game outside of just scoring, you either got to be a nice facilitator, or you got to be able to limit possessions on defense in some kind of way, whether that's being a lockdown defender or being a rebounder. You got to do one of those things. And if you can't, if you don't have nothing other than that in your game, you're like a stretched out Ben Gordon.
I would add to that that even offensively, if you're a gifted scorer, you have to know the power of your scoring ability. And I want to say this. I mean, this is where it made Jordan really great, is he knew how to get his team in the bonus, and he knew how that could be. That'd be like running the football and getting first down. If, you know, if I get our team in the bonus, if I put you on your heels where you feel like you can't foul me because I'm going to the line, and I'm getting paid on that, I must kill you down the stretch. And they always try, and that's that just thinking the game all the way through and having that strategy that I don't see someone like Carmelo, get to the post, baby, draw them fouls, get to the line, and start milking them cats to the bonus, because then you're gonna be crazy down the stretch. And I don't see that all the time, that kind of thinking. Just not scoring for the fact of scoring, but scoring with strategy.
Right.
I think that goes with some of the leadership on that team. You, when you talk about Durant, you talk about Carmelo, you know, they're going to, you know, put butts in the seats, you know, just with the game that they have. And so they don't develop or they don't blossom. They never take it to that next level. They're not asking.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Durant won't. I'm just saying he's 21. He's not doing it right now. And that's why I don't think he's going to win this year. I'm not saying Durant won't eventually, because I think he will. I think he gets it. I think he gets that overall game better than – I think at least it seems like he understands overall how he can impact the game better than Carmelo does. I think after 7 years in the league, Carmelo just looks like he should have a better understanding of how to play this game other than let me go get a bucket. And I think that's his mentality is let me go get – my team needs me, let me go get a bucket, which is a great mentality to have at the right time. But there are other facets and nuances to the game that I think he ignores.
But and I thought the other thing about Carmelo, and this is this whole thing about I want to get back to New York, and you know it seemed like early days in Minnesota, with my one guy about Marbury getting back to New York City. It's like you're not in a bad situation, to tell you the truth. You look at the guys around you. Your team isn't all that bad if you led. You got Chauncey, you got some pieces there. You know, where y'all were missing is the stuff that Marcus, you're talking about. Where y'all weren't competing is on the glass, on defense, on all the other things that take championship ball, but you got some depth, you got some folks. Yeah, you got JR who might, you know, shoot some but that's leadership. Like, you know, JR, you and I are gonna be in the back fighting. You start, you know, you got to be our modern day Vinnie Johnson. That means
right. And he ain't no worse than Vernon Maxwell. People was able to win championships with Mad Max.
That's right.
And, you know what I'm saying?
And with the shift of some of these guys to the east, staying out west might not be a bad
exactly.
thing right now.
Exactly. I mean, right, it would be you and the Lakers.
Right.
It would be you and the Lakers, but he want to run east because he feel like that's where the money at. If you can play, you're going to get money wherever you at. All right? You're going to get money wherever you at if you're doing your thing.
Right. That's right. So, yeah, I agree with you on that.
So we got about 15 minutes left in the show. And what I want to do with these last 15 minutes is I want to get into these picks. And we're going to go over our picks. Now, that's my fault for not getting them up on Facebook. I'm going to do that tonight after we get off the air. I'm going to get this week's picks up on Facebook. But we can go over last week's picks. Let me find my stuff from last week. But as I'm looking, I'll go ahead and set it up. So last week, the games we checked in on, we had Atlanta and Tampa Bay. We had who else do we have? We had New York and Seattle, Oakland and Kansas City, Philly and Indy were the games that we went with last week. We can start out with Oakland and Kansas City. I mean, the Raiders are relevant. The Raiders are in the hunt. You know, they seem to have come out of the dark ages. The dark time has passed for Oakland fans, and the Raiders are playing meaningful football. Jason Campbell somehow remembered that he was a decent quarterback and is playing like a decent quarterback. And Darren McFadden is what everybody thought he was going to be, which is, you know, one of the top 10 backs in the league. I mean, and the defense is playing well. They eked out a victory over Kansas City. Again, I can't find my picks. And y'all think I'd be doing that on purpose, but I can't find my picks again. That's why I said I'm going to just put them up tonight, man. I'm going to just put them up right after we get done. I'm going to put them up, and that's going to be that. And y'all can stop being mad at me for losing the picks.
I don't remember, you know, I can't tell you, fully, but I'm sure that I chose Kansas City in that game simply because I thought their running game would be relevant, you know, and that they would.
Yeah, I think I chose Kansas City, too.
I chose the Raiders.
Yeah. See, that's why I got to stop losing the picks, man. Because when I lose the picks, man, Devon always come back. I chose the winning team. Whoever won, that's who I chose.
I know I chose Kansas City. I wasn't sure if the Raiders are still on crack. But they for real.
But see how you gonna be down in the Raiders and you still think Jerry Jones know what he's doing?
I look at Jerry, man. I see a cat. I think about it like Mark Cuban. They want to win, but they just can't get out their own way. That's the only thing I love. But it ain't because he don't want to win. He ain't making that. We're gonna talk about that. But yeah, the Raiders. Well, he finally just let his coach, and I think Jerry can learn something from that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and Kansas City played them tough. Kansas City was in it right to the end. I thought Kansas City might be a team that might go after Moss, given that all of their staff is from New England. I figured that they might go with Moss, given that they don't have – I mean, Bo's decent, but, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to double-team Bo anytime in the near future. So, yeah, we had that game. And then we had Philly and Indy. And I know I took Philly in this game, and I know I took Philly in this game because we had a long discussion about whether or not Indy would be able to keep Vic and why. And we had a long discussion in particular about the cover two and why that played in Vic's hands and why that would make Vic a hard cover for Indy. So I know I took Philly in this game. I think you picked Indy because I think you was going at it with me. About whether or not, you know, you felt like this was the perfect game for Peyton Manning.
And
I think yeah,
and if
words,
I
right?
and if I may quote Devon, he said, "I'm taking the sheriff."
Everybody want to play. Everybody wants to pick up on me.
So you're not going to be able to jump on a winning team's bandwagon with that particular game, brother.
What I thought that Vic would have a good game. I thought that it was the kind of game that he would squeak out in the end and run out the arena. But, you know, he couldn't run out the arena.
And there was one whack-ass call in that game. I think it was Trent Cole came around the edge and basically, you know, knocked on his helmet a little bit and was like, hey, anybody home? And they gave him a 15-yard penalty for that because he was trying to strip the ball. At some point, it's just too much. At some point, they just got to back up. The NFL just got to back off of that the craziness.
The NFL did release, you know, the information that they gave the players on these illegal hits and contact. And of course, I didn't read it because it was 11 pages long. When they warned these teams, they warned these players on how these fines and penalties were going to roll out on a rule that's existed for a million years, you know, it was 11 pages long. Each player got one. It's like the do's and don'ts, you know.
Yeah, see, this is just kind of, like I said, I think they're just doing this is doing too much. I mean, there's too much legislating going on. And you got to just, certain parts of, I mean, he was going for the strip. He was coming around the edge, going for the strip. It was 4th and 18. He hit Manning on the head, and Indianapolis gets the first down on 4th and 18 because this man is going for a strip. And he actually stripped the ball. You know what I mean? But before he stripped the ball, in his swiping, he hit Manning's helmet. He was like, come on. Come on now. We got to do better than that.
That's the golden goose. But, that's the sheriff. You can't knock out the sheriff.
And I get that. But at the same time, it's 4th and 18 in the fourth quarter with a minute something left. That's a horrible call. You know, like I get all that. You got to protect the guys who you know are behind center because otherwise it's an ugly game if you got some bums back there playing that position. But that was just ridiculous. But anyway. We got the Giants and Seattle, and I think both of y'all took the Giants, and for some reason I decided to take Seattle. I'm pretty sure I took Seattle, and I remember thinking that they would be a tough team to beat at home, and it was 41-7. So, silly me.
I bet you heard USC again. I thought I was college football.
USC against Ole Miss.
So Mike Williams on the roster. You're like, oh, that's USC against Tennessee. That's USC. They're gonna crush him again.
Oh man, yeah, I was wrong on that one. I'll take that. And then we had Atlanta and Tampa, and I know I took Tampa in that one too. And Tampa put up a better fight than Seattle, but they lost also. Atlanta win that one at home. Yeah, I think you guys both win Atlanta.
Atlanta at home.
Yeah, I think you both took Atlanta. You both took the Giants. And then me and Ray took Philly. Devon was on Indy. And the Kansas City game, I want to say I took Kansas City. I think I took Kansas City to beat Oakland just because I don't trust the Raiders as far as I could throw them. That was last week's games. If you want to know the real deal, go check the tape and you can see. But I think that was a pretty good idea of what we said this week. Let's see what we got on deck for this week. We have New England at Pittsburgh on Sunday night. So that's going to be a good one. We'll do that one. Yeah, that's a big game there. It's not really a whole lot to get into this week. Here's an interesting game. We got Minnesota at Chicago, and I think the reason we'll pick that one is I think this is a game. I think this is one of those games that's a must win, and it's a must win for Minnesota. It's at Chicago, so it's going to be a tough game. So we'll check in on that one. Baltimore and Atlanta will duke it out on Thursday night in Atlanta. So I think that'll be worthy. Both of those teams are 6-2 right now. So I think that'll be worth talking about. Then we're looking at a big pile of doo-doo after that. We could rap about Tennessee at Miami. Well, we go ahead and pick that. We go Tennessee at Miami, given that Randy Moss is going to make his debut in the Tennessee uniform. So we got Baltimore at Atlanta, Tennessee at Miami, Minnesota at Chicago, and New England at Pittsburgh. So let's start with Baltimore at Atlanta. Well, I'll throw it to Devon first. Who you taking, brother?
You know, I went with Atlanta at home, but I don't know how consistent they're going to be. I'm going with Ray-Ray, John Harbaugh. I think Baltimore is going to match him with the intensity and get the victory out of there. It'll be low scoring, but Baltimore wins.
Okay. All right, so Devon is going Baltimore. Ray, who you got?
I'll take Baltimore in this one as well. I hate going against the home team, but I think Baltimore is going to start to make their move. It's going to start showing people who they are, and this will be a good start for that.
Yeah, I'm going Baltimore, too. I'm just not sold on Matt Ryan in Atlanta, so I'm going Baltimore. I picked Atlanta to lose this last week, and they made me look dumb. So I'm going to pick them to lose again this week, and they're going to make me look smart. All right. So we got Minnesota and Chicago. Is this Chili's last stand? I mean, this may be Chili's last stand, a road game in a windy city against a divisional rival. Minnesota's 3-5. Chicago is, I think, 5-3 right now. I think this is a must win for Minnesota to stay in the race for a potential playoff spot. I see Minnesota pulling it out. I think Chicago's been doing it with smoke and mirrors at this point. So I'm going to go ahead and go first and say I'm taking Minnesota.
Chicago just got done beating up on Buffalo, and it wasn't a bad game. But I just don't think Chicago's a very good football team. Minnesota I think Chili could win the rest of the games and get fired. So I think Minnesota will beat them, but it ain't going to have nothing to do with Chili. You know, and him keeping his job, because I think his bags are packed.
Yeah.
They're just
so who you got?
I'm
going
to say, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chilaralda, the slipper is this is for some reason something I think you saw Mike Marshall's game plan. He ran, I think, what he had, 30 rushes versus 27 passes. And I mean, he's making some adjustments, you know, given where his quarterback is developmentally. You know, defense is coming around a little bit. I think, you know, this is a game they ran out.
So who you got? We got Chicago. All right, so we got about 2 minutes left, so we're going to have to speed through these last couple of picks. Then, like I said, I'll get them up on Facebook. People can react to them. People can touch base and see if we're crazy or not. Tennessee and Miami. I'm going with the Randy effect. I'm going with the Randy Moss Project. I'm taking Tennessee on the road.
I'll take Tennessee as well.
So, yeah, Devon, who you taking?
So, who are we talking about right now?
Tennessee at Miami.
I'm going to go with Tennessee.
Okay. So, we all Tennessee. Who you take, Ray?
I took Tennessee.
All right, so we all taking Tennessee. All right, last game for the week, and it's going to close us out. We got about a minute left. We got Pittsburgh at New England. I mean, New England at Pittsburgh. New England's coming off a bad loss against Cleveland. Ray, who you got?
I got Pittsburgh at home.
All right, Pittsburgh. Devon, who you taking?
Pittsburgh at home.
You taking Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
All right, I'm playing catch up. I'm going to New England. Hell with it. Real Sports Guys Radio. Check us out on Facebook. We're going to get the picks up. Check us out next week. Hit us up on Twitter. We're all over. You hit us up. Stay interactive with us. You know, we're going to have some interesting things up for y'all to check out. Feel free to check in. That's all I got, folks. Why don't y'all take us out? Last comments. We got about 20 seconds left.
Hey, y'all, check out the Chris Bosh countdown. We're going to put that up there.
Randy Moss will get 2 touchdowns this weekend. Fish is going to spoon feed him.
Hell, I hope so. I hope so. I got him on one of my fantasy teams, man. That brother ain't done nothing all season.
Don't cater the food in.
All right, we off. We off air. We off air. Good stuff, fellas. Good stuff.
Yeah.
We're going into the after dark mode.
Yeah.
For the listeners.
Yeah, I'm finna get the picks up right now.
The podcast people.
Yeah.
You might have to put a little poll in there up on the Facebook site on because you know we can do polls on there.
Yeah.
Poll on
Chris Bosh.
Apple Bosh, is he going?
Yeah. Should it be traded? Should it be traded?
Should it be traded? You know, you should put a little Chris Bosh poll up there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm gonna craft that real nice too.
Wait a second though. Wait a second. Instead of talking about him being traded, because that's down the road a little bit, you should poll to find out which one, LeBron or Wade, which one is going to criticize Bosh's game first. Which one is going to say we need?
Yeah.
Which
see,
one?
That, that's what I'm talking about. I'm gonna get real inflammatory.
Which one is going to say?
I'm going to try to put something up there that's flammable.
Yeah, which one is going to say we need some post help? Which one is going to say it first?
Yeah.
We need some post help.
Who's going to be the first to trip them as they're crossing the street as that bus is coming?
That's right.
Mike,
that's
somebody
right.
Like Udonis Haslam. You know, Udonis is like, I got a ring.
Right.
Down here,
I don't know about the rest of these jokers.
But I want to know between Wade and LeBron. Which one of the two are going to, like I said, you know, this is going to work if they win. If they don't win, then they go back to that locker room looking at each other like, it's your fault. And they'll soon start pointing fingers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they will. Oh, yeah, they will. And it's already, you know, the media is already on it. You know, they're already seeing it. And I think everybody's kind of been waiting, laying in wait. To see again how Bosh, because I think everybody realized that Bosh was that one dude that you quite just didn't know what you was gonna get from him. You know what you're gonna get from D Wade. You know what you're gonna get from LeBron. You've seen them carry teams. You've seen them in big moments. Bosh ain't never been out the first round of the playoffs. He ain't never played for nothing. You know, what is this dude bringing to the table? You know, everybody's heard.
You see the numbers. You knew this was gonna kind of happen because they made him an equal. They took him to the table.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and you have to wonder if Pat Riley is thinking, or if Pat Riley it might even want to say, you know, I wouldn't have been able to sign two of these guys. I had to have if I wanted all of them, I had to get them all. If I really wanted LeBron, I knew I had to sign Bosh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder if that'll ever come out because
right.
You know Pat may not have ever wanted Bosh. He may, you know, Pat, he's a smart man. You know, he knows basketball in and out. He may have looked at this situation like we are looking at it and going, you know, I really didn't want this guy, but I might not have been able to get LeBron unless I signed them both because they were all convinced that the three of them needed to be on the same team. They drug each other down together.
Right.
It's just a matter of time.
And somebody's got to have to occupy that post game.
That's right.
And
it's gonna get them killed, man. It's gonna be the death of them this year. That's why they're not gonna win a championship. If you look at the last 10 to 15 teams that won NBA championships, they've had somebody who could defend 1-on-1 in the post, or they've had somebody who commanded a double team in the post. They have neither.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. You either got somebody that demands a double team, or you either got somebody that can defend straight up.
Yeah, but
and you saw
when
the Celtics lost. When the Celtics lost, what was the place? Perkins.
Yep.
It was a different. They were a different team because they had to double. And as good as a defensive team as they are, once you have to double, I don't care what you usually do on defense. Once you start doubling, you're in trouble.
In order to get the pieces that they need. one of them or all three of them are going to have to give up some money. And it's
true.
And that's when it's going to get interesting, because it's going to, pretty soon it's going to be, it ain't my fault. It ain't my fault. You need that present.
Somebody go jump up, get your hand out of my pocket.
Right. Right.
Well, and also to see, you know, what happens when Miller gets inserted, and what does he create, you know how that's going to happen. But you know, after those first 20 games, I know Pat's about to start doing some evaluation.
Well, he ain't no defender either.
Some
opposing team is going to be licking their chops looking at him.
But I think they need to look a lot like the Bulls. And have a two-headed monster, and I try to have this three, and get those role players. And Miller's that guy that can just be spotted up outside. You got to get rebounders, because Miller's not going to be that answer. But you're going to have to look a lot more like the Bulls than what you're trying. They can't look like Boston at this point. They can't look like the big three in Boston, because you know it's not the same. Garnett is not, you know, Bosch is not Garnett. He doesn't have
that.
That's one of the things that we should have talked about tonight was Garnett calling what's his name, a cancer patient.
Yeah, Villanueva.
You know? Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of nasty.
People come back talking about Garnett not picking on people his own size. He don't ever say anything to other. But people were coming back talking about Garnett.
You know, I think people have been waiting to get on KG. KG has always kind of walked that line real finely, where it's like he's a likable guy, but then he has moments where it's easy to not like him, you know, because he is such a trash talker.
But them little guys always think them big guys are going to fight fair, you know, and that's the problem, you know. Little guys always think, you know, you're going to be nice. And KG don't want to be nice, you know.
Yeah.
If he can get under your skin, you know, they talk about, you know, how he picks on little guys. But there ain't no big guys really bum-rushing him either. You know, they did show the one clip with the one fella. And he looked more surprised than scared.
Right.
You know, like, man, I can't believe you just did that, because now I got to cut you.
Right, now I got to beat your head in.
Right.
Lot to talk about going forward.
Yeah, so I think the media might got, you know, they might have got somebody beat up, because now Garnett is thinking, oh, hell, now they think I'm soft. Now I got to hit this guy.
Right. Now I got to punch him in the nuts.
Because he's going to say something. Yeah, because somebody's going to say something, you know. Somebody's
going to say something. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, he ain't going to hit me. Well, yeah, he is. He's going to hit you.
Yes.
But when you work up that pole, you make sure you hit him hard, because I want to know, you know, I want somebody to write in the first time one of them, D-Wade or LeBron, says, yeah, we might have to figure out how to help out on the post a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because that'll tell you that they're talking about it.
Oh, yeah, I'm crafting it right now.
Because they won't start talking about trading him until it really matters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right now they're trying to make it work.
Right.
They can't panic yet. They were saying things in this long haul. You know, and their timeline is different than everybody else's timeline. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. Because I don't know how this is gonna play out for them. I don't think it's gonna go the way they thought it was gonna go.
I don't think this whole situation
is gonna go the way they thought it was gonna go when they had the little rap concert.
But I think all three of them young men underestimate Pat Riley. And Pat Riley won't let his home barely, you know.
Oh yeah, Pat gonna step in.
It ain't like he's gonna call him into the office and say, one of you gotta go. You know. LeBron will wake up and go out and get that paper and find out the boss is gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they got to let this thing run its course. I don't think they're going to make a move like that. They built it around this thing. He's not going to make a move like that. Spoelstra will be
gone
before that happens.
Oh, no, I agree. It's not going to happen. You're not even going to hear them talking about a trade. They're not even going to acknowledge the Whitlock article or anything else like that. But when you start hear them, when you start to hear them saying, you know, we got to show up the post, then I don't think Pat's going to wait a whole lot of time before he shows up the post. Matter, you know, what's going to matter is who's going to pay for it.
And that, you know, that's probably. I mean, they knew they couldn't get much this year on it, and they don't have a lot of parts to move. So, I mean, a lot of it's going to be how do you utilize Bosch, how you get him in. And I said a lot of it's going to be through the rotation. You know, really where Bosch might be making his push is with the second unit, where he can be featured scoring, but then he's got to pick it up defensively. You know, and you got to find those spots where maybe it's LeBron and Bosch on the court where he's able to get off and get the run. And he got to know that when it's all three of them on the court, then his job is just to get garbage every once in a while they're going to play. You know, maybe start out with it like they used to do with Cartwright, you know, establish a low post, cover down the floor. But then after that, you know, you got to get yours where you can. And when we go to the second unit, that's where you're going to pick up your score because you're going to be featured with them. So, I mean, he's got to find, you know, they got to do it through the rotation, and then he's got to step into that as well.
Yeah, but again, when you get –
got to be better.
That's exactly it because it's going to show – late in the game when the game is close and all of a sudden Bosch is sitting on the bench because he can't defend.
Was Bosch covering Millsap? I didn't see how the game. Was he covering Millsap or was Udonis?
Yeah, he was. They were splitting time on him, Bosch and Millsap. Yeah, but whether he was covering him or not, if he could cover him, they would have put him on him. At some point, if a dude's busting you for 46 and you got somebody that can cover him, you're going to put him on him.
I thought they were up like 97-90 when I turned the TV off. And then, what did Utah do to cut that? It didn't look like there was that much time left.
Yeah. I mean,
then they went to OT, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, fellas, I got to go in.
What do you think would happen if they went out and got AI?
That's too much disruption. If AI was willing to come off the bench, I mean, you know, a couple months of turkey make a motherfucker rethink his priorities.
Exactly.
So,
they got all the most
stuff, but you know, brother, AI ain't really. He gonna stand out in turkey.
Yeah, it's hard to gamble in turkey, man. It's hard to gamble in turkey.
You
ain't no chicken wing spots or nothing.
You don't want to have no prison. You know, people are practicing Ramadan. I know he was like, man. You know, he might be a little bit more open.
You know,
yeah,
he can't get
you
no
know.
Liquor. Can't
right,
get no
exactly,
liquor.
Exactly. You know, he got to take that Turkish liquor and,
they don't have,
you know.
Muslims, they ain't got no liquor. They ain't that many Christians.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, it may be illegal. You might lose a hand for some shit like that.
I wouldn't go get AI because their needs are not. They don't need anybody. They got enough cats like that. They need somebody. They need anybody who's 6 foot tall. They need somebody who's 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they need. You know, I'm trying to think about somebody who thought about retirement making it picked up. And Emeka Okafor looks good with them. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, just get one of them bruisers that just rebound and do his job. You know,
you get a Brandon Haywood.
Yep.
You know, someone like that who's just serviceful big man.
Yep.
You know,
Tyson Chandler would have been a nice fit.
Tyson Chandler, something like
that. He can actually run. He can get out on the floor and move.
You know, I'm looking at it like he's older, but he's a vet. Is a campy.
Yep.
You know, he just, you give him the right minutes. He knows.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I like Portland. He's one of the reasons I like Portland to do some damage in the West.
Yep.
You know, it can be solid. I mean, you got Canby, you know, hopefully Oden can come back at some point, you know, play half a season for you. If Prince Billa come back, that's three solid big men, and they all defensive-minded guys.
Okay.
It's not like you gotta trick them into playing defense. They know that's what they're there for.
Yeah. You know. I mean, one of your thoughts is, this is a more radical thought, if you figure out you can find somebody who can fulfill that shooting role, is, you know, maybe trading the Miller for Hickson or somebody
mm-hmm.
like that, you know, where maybe you move Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't, you know, offense ain't their stuff. But if you can get it, like you said, if you get a defensive player, do they really need the Miller? Or could they get away with having some other guys step up and fulfill that Miller role and, you know, sacrificing him for a defensive player?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly They'll do everything. They'll do everything they can to try to keep those three together. But it's gonna if it doesn't work right now. They realize they should be realizing that their need is height. You can't. The only way you're gonna beat height is with speed, and that ain't gonna work in a 5 or 7 game series. So
exactly, because by game 5, your ass is slowing down.
That's right.
You don't run as fast as you do.
You got to have somebody in that box to just make things happen. Otherwise, teams just come right down the middle, and it's never good. It's never good when the teams aren't afraid to go to the paint.
It's like, you know, I tell the girls I coach. You attack the paint, three things can happen. You get your shot blocked, you get fouled, or you get the basket. And I'm cool with two of those.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Riley went to think creatively. And then I think the last measure of Riley coming down and lighting the fire.
Right.
And he'd be lighting the fire in the Bosch. I think he wouldn't be worried about the other two. But, you know, just trying to get competitive, baby.
Yeah, $100 million, man. You got to bring it.
We can't have Millsap. He's 49.
You definitely can't have Millsap in 40. Not for 100 mil.
The only other thing that they could do is rotate Wade up and put LeBron down, and you'll be wasting that facilitator.
You're gonna be putting more miles on LeBron, because now he's got a bang, and you know, not that he can't do it, but ideally, you'd rather use his size advantage in a different way.
Exactly.
You know, they have bang with dudes who are his size. They're not as quick as he is, but they
exactly
are his size.
You want him exploiting somebody that's shorter than he is, not as
exactly
trying to exploit somebody with speed that's bigger than he is. Because that's
right.
going to take his toll. That's going to take his toll, you know, quickly. So, I mean, for him to be passing over top of people and shooting over top of people, you know, that's where you want it. You want him out in front of the basket. You don't want his back to the basket.
I think
put out there and defend.
Yeah, and they, you know, they look at some of the stuff they're doing defensively. I mean, one of the things you got is you got the power of the zone. You got the power of a whole bunch of stuff, you know, mixing those things up. So, how do you utilize that to help you have more of a presence in the lane? You know, being able to mix that stuff up. You know, I don't know how much they play zone, but you know, you have some interesting opportunities with Wade and LeBron in terms of what kind of zone you might want to play.
But again, this is what we were talking about all summer. Was, you know, eventually there's going to be some dirty looks in that locker room. Eventually,
mm-hmm.
Pat's going to be walking through, and how are these young guys going to handle that? You know, how are
yep.
these young guys? You know, how soon will it be before, you know, they could go out tomorrow and blow somebody out. It could be all forgotten. And if they can do that for a week or two and they just have one of these upsets on occasion, but if these teams start exploiting that weakness, you know, it's going to be sooner than you think. These guys are going to kind of implode on each other. They can't have this. It wasn't in the script.
Yep.
Well, gentlemen, I got to get rolling.
playing a long time.
Right.
Before I leave,
I will see y'all online. What's that?
I gotta tell you, my daughter had a little boy on Sunday.
Okay. Congratulations.
Got my second grandson. And,
all right.
Just to let you know how these little Thomas boys roll. Her first son was 5 weeks early, and he weighed 6'1".
Wow.
This little scoundrel came out 5 weeks early too, but he weighed 7'1". So these kids, I don't know if they're messing up her due dates or what, but these kids would have been like 10 and 12 pounds if they would have went to term.
Right. Yeah.
Play healthy.
Hey, well, congratulations, bro.
Thank you. Right now, I'll be celebrating with just some sleep because these little motherfuckers is keeping me up. Shit. I'm like Bernie Mac. Come help me babysit these motherfuckers.
You need to put a baseball in their left hand. Shit.
That's it.
Right.
You know, a bat in their left hand. They got a bat from the other side. All right, fellas. You have a good night.
All right,
man. Y'all take care.
Me too.